Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
Trump accused Ukrainian President Zelensky of prolonging the war by refusing to surrender Russian-occupied Crimea. A dozen states have sued the Trump administration, claiming the president doesn't have the power to impose tariffs unless there's an emergency. Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield.
It's effectively a tax that all of us are going to be paying.
A wildfire in southern New Jersey is now 50% contained.
The wildfire is expected to keep growing in size before rain is forecast Friday. Thousands at one point had to be evacuated, like Bill Schultz.
Police were up and down, knocking on doors, telling everybody grab what you can and go.
CBS's Matt Piper, CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's lots of Star Wars news lately. Here's the latest. Andor makes its return for season two. The show returns almost 2 years after the finale of season one. Diego Luna plays Cassian Andor, just like he did in Rogue One. The show is crushing on Rotten Tomatoes at 98%. Season two will have 12 episodes. The first three episodes dropped Tuesday, April 22nd. Disney Plus will release three episodes every week on Tuesdays, totaling a four-week run. Disney Plus says this will be the final season of the popular show. In more Season 2 news, Nathan Felder is back for Season 2 of The Rehearsal. The hilariously awkward creator of the show is also the leading man as he tries to help people get better at living their own lives by rehearsing them. Things usually go very wrong, and therein lies the hilarity. Season 2 will have six episodes, just like the first season. The HBO show drops every Sunday night following The Righteous Gemstones. Happy Weird Sunday Night on Max, everyone. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the NFL Draft tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the NFL Draft is getting underway. Thousands of fans and the network's broadcasting live. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst asked, after being just one game away from the Super Bowl 2 years ago, where does he think the team is heading into this season?
I think we're growing. You know, we lost our last three games, right? I think that's a tough pill to swallow. I don't think we can get very far away from that and understand that we got a lot of work to do. But I do like our group. I think they're eager, and I think they're all kind of entering a phase where they're going to be playing their best football. So I think we're really excited about that.
NBA, the Bucks back home getting ready for the Pacers for game three tomorrow night. Indy leads that series 2-0. Baseball, Brewers losing to the Giants 4-2. Pat Murphy on the decision to pull Freddie Peralta in the sixth.
We believed that he could do it, and then two quick hits, and then 0-2 to ball four. I didn't like that, and then he was at 96, and one of those things.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is Shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 53 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, some showers after midnight. Our low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy with some rain and thunderstorms. And the rain could be heavy with a quarter to a half inch or more. 56 the high on Saturday. Sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Upper 50s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning on this Thursday, April 24th. I am Ben Jarbo, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. It is also day one of the 2025 NFL Draft over in Green Bay. We will see if the weather will hold up for the draft goers in just a few minutes with ag meteorologist Stu Muck. Seeing that it is Thursday, we are also catching up with our friends from EverAg. Katie Burgess is joining me to break down the most recent milk production report. We also get a little education in today as we are going to learn how to make sure your barn is keeping cattle as comfortable as possible when Stephanie Hoff chats with Jeff Glass about grooving the floors of the barns. Also, as the weather warms up, you may be thinking about pulling your boat out and hitting the water for the first time this year. I talked with Darren Kuhn from the DNR to learn about some considerations you should think about before getting out there. But coming up next, Charity Seebecker talks with Vice President of Marketing for AMPI, Sarah Schmidt, about how they were able to overcome the fire that took down their plant in Portage. There's a lot to unpack today, so make sure to stay tuned in.
It's still sinking in. All the medals that Bavaria Sausage brought home from the German Butchers Association competition. Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, says they walked away with 49 medals, 30 that were gold, and all the products they submitted, something you can purchase today.
You know, we picked products right out of the freezer, right out of the deli case, right out of our coolers, and that's what we brought. We did not do a special batch of any of this. We didn't know, but we had a feeling that we'd do pretty well with the Germans on this one.
That's Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, capturing 49 medals at the recent German Butcher Association Meat Products Competition, recognizing the quality that started more than 60 years ago with Fred Vohl. Bavaria Sausage, shop those award-winning meats today at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitch Rotor Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday 9 until 1, or always open online. BavariaSausage.com.
From your favorite restaurant to dinner tables around the world, a key Wisconsin facility quietly helps deliver cheese to your plate. But when a fire temporarily shut down operations, it posed a major challenge. Now that plate is bouncing back stronger than ever. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Sarah Schmidt, Vice President of Marketing for AMPI, is sharing the story of how they overcame that setback at their Portage plant and what it means for the future.
The first days of 2023 is when the fire impacted the Portage plant, and it was specific to the area of the plant that does process cheese production. So that's your pasteurized process American cheese. We make quite a bit of American cheese in slice or loaf form, really great for burgers and dips. That was the area of the plant that experienced the fire. There is another area of that plant that specifically packages natural cheese. So think of shredded cheese and chunks of natural cheese. That area was not impacted by the fire. So when things shut the full plant down, it was for about 6 weeks in order to get everything cleaned up. And then we were able to resume production in the natural area of the plant because it hadn't been where the fire originated. Production for the processed cheese area, that took more time to get up and rolling again. Part of that was we had to move the equipment from the area that was impacted to a different area of the plant because where the fire happened, we were not able to resume production in that space. So when operations got restarted at the plant, we were producing in a much smaller footprint. And that's been the situation right up until now. We have started the rebuild process. In fact, engineering and plans, that was all part of, you know, the back half of 23 and then into 24. And we started actual plant movement late last summer. And so from that point now, we're just we're in that rebuild phase.
What were some of the biggest challenges in getting the plant back up and running with, you know, there's rising construction costs, especially steel prices right now? I'm sure that didn't help much.
The biggest challenge for our particular situation was doing production in a much smaller footprint. So you had to make accommodations where you would have had far more space and employee comforts to complete the cheese processing and packaging process. We're doing it in a much smaller space at this time. We were so focused on getting the Portage plant back up and running as soon as possible because it's a major customer, if you will, for the co-op's bulk cheese plants. So AMPI, farmer-owned dairy co-op, the milk leaves the farm, it goes to a bulk cheese plant. In Wisconsin, those plants are in Jim Falls and Blair. The bulk cheese that we're making there is in a 700-pound block form. Portage does not receive any milk. It cuts and wraps and shreds and processes cheese. So we needed Portage, our consumer packaging plant, to get up and running so that our bulk cheese could keep moving closer and down onto the final customer, which out of Portage is predominantly food service. We shred cheese, slice cheese, make sliced cheese for restaurants all across the country, and actually a growing number of our sales out of the Portage plant do go overseas. It's been fun to see sales of AMPI's Dinner Bell Creamery cheese really growing specifically in Asia and the Middle East, North Africa.
Were there any lessons learned from the fire that maybe influenced how you guys decided to rebuild the plant? How maybe that's, you know, upgrades that you realized you needed or new technology or anything like that?
Anytime you experience something like a fire, there really are these new opportunities to take a different look at the footprint of the plant and incorporate changes that improve production efficiencies. And certainly that's what we've taken this opportunity to do. And so one of the neatest changes now is we've reconfigured the plant so that product, as it arrives into the plant, it happens at one end of the building, and then it moves its way through the building. It's packaged, processed, it's packaged, it's palletized, and it goes out the other end of the building. And that flow really improves production efficiency. So once the rebuild project is complete, the overall footprint of the plant is not going to change. But we anticipate there could be some gains in total production volumes simply because of the production efficiencies that we've been able to employ. The other opportunity we've had is just general upgrades that you're going to be incorporating now because you have to replace equipment. Specifically for us, HVAC, heating, ventilation, air conditioning, all of those systems are updated. So it's going to be a more comfortable environment for employees. We've also been able to incorporate equipment that is more energy efficient. Another bonus of having to go through this project. So we had this opportunity to take a look at how best can we make changes that improve operations and receiving, and then also thinking about, well, maybe not right now, but let's make sure that we have space one day to install equipment that could expand our production. So all of those things we've been able to incorporate.
And you mentioned this plant getting up and running again is huge, so you can continue all of what you're doing. Like you mentioned, this isn't necessarily milk coming to this facility. It's that next step. So just take us through how significant this plant is for your guys' operations in Wisconsin and remind our audience of the presence that you guys do have here.
So Wisconsin is the cheese capital of the world. And for AMPI, it is home to three of the co-op's seven manufacturing plants. I've mentioned the two bulk natural cheese plants. Portage is our consumer packaged cheese plant. If you go west into Minnesota, we have a bulk cheese plant in Painesville, Minnesota. They are producing 500-pound barrels of cheese. barrels are the primary ingredient in sliced American cheese. So barrels from Painesville are transported to Portage and used in the production of American cheese. We also have a butter plant in New Ulm, another bulk cheese plant in Sanborn, Iowa. Some of that cheese, 700-pound blocks, makes its way to Portage. And we have a non-fat dry milk plant in Freeman, South Dakota. So when I talk about Portage being one of the co-op's top customers, it's a really big deal. And so for a period of 2023, we lost that customer. It has been so good to have that customer back, one of many we work with, but Portage really was a large customer for the co-op. And it's been important for us to see it come back online because it's a way in which we can get closer to the consumer. And anytime you can get closer to the consumer, you're capturing more value for the dairy farmers that we can get it back on their milk checks. So we're very anxious to see Portage back up and running at pre-fire levels and hopefully beyond so we can improve returns for our dairy farmers.
And what does the future look like for AMPI then in Wisconsin? Obviously, this is the initial focus, but are there new initiatives on the horizon?
The other thing that the co-op is really focused on being is the natural cheese producer for many of the country's leading brands. Our statement is, we make the dairy products that make your brand. So while you're not going to see AMPI on the package of some of your favorite cheese item in the grocery store, we are the cheese that other brands choose to wrap their name around. We take that responsibility very seriously. So we make good cheese. It's what we do. And we recognize cheese is an important business to be in. Anything we can do to invest in the projects that get the most returns for dairy farmers, that's what we're focused on. Without our dairy farmer owners, this business doesn't exist.
Once again, that's Sarah Schmidt, Vice President of Marketing for AMPI, joining us. The next time you melt cheese on a burger or toss a pack into your grocery cart, think about the story behind it. From the farm to a plant rebuild and finally to your plate, AMPI is behind the scenes making the cheese that fuels your favorite bites. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Voting proof of citizenship efforts are afoot in Michigan, while voters await the outcome of the Federal SAVE Act and a Trump executive order requiring similar restrictions. This despite no evidence of widespread non-citizen voting in Michigan or anywhere else in the U.S. In Michigan, a constitutional amendment which failed to achieve a two-thirds majority in the legislature just received the go-ahead to collect signatures for a citizen ballot initiative instead. If organizers meet the signature requirements, it could appear on the 2026 ballot. The Michigan proposal requires any new registering voters to show, quote, a birth certificate, passport, and/or other documents, and would eliminate the use of sworn affidavits for voters without approved IDs. Voters without citizenship documents could cast a provisional ballot, but must return with the documents within 6 days for it to count. While that may keep the 20, that's 2-0, alleged Michigan non-citizens from voting, 1 in 9 Americans don't have ready access to citizenship documents, and over 5.8 million Michigan citizens don't own a U.S. passport, according to the Center for American Progress. On the national proof of citizenship front, a federal circuit court ruling on President Donald Trump's March 25th order is expected April 24th, and the SAVE Act is in the U.S. Senate, but unlikely to overcome the filibuster. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Alba Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
D's here, so we will get back with you in just a few minutes, or in just a minute.
Are two of the most sensitive to copper deficiencies. Badge SC from Gowan USA is effective for overcoming copper deficiencies while providing broad-spectrum disease protection. Badge SC can be applied from the end of dormancy through boot and tank mixed with many herbicides, fertilizers, or fungicides. When it comes to improving the yield and quality of your wheat and barley, Badge SC has you covered. Ask your ag retailer about Badge SC, America's number one selling liquid copper brand. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Company.
At Newfields Ag, they believe only a farmer-focused future promises to sustainably feed a growing population while preserving the environment and promoting economic prosperity for farmers and rural communities. Newfields Ag provides you with a farmer-focused biological and biostimulant portfolio. This diverse range of products allows you to reduce reliance on synthetic chemicals and improve the overall health and resilience of your crops and soils. Visit NewfieldsAg.com. Newfields Ag. Innovations in your fields.
All right, Stu, if you're there, we have about 3 minutes here. What can you tell us about the weather?
All right, Ben, well, I hear you now. Let's talk about it. Some rain slipped across southern Wisconsin last night. Still there, in fact. We had a pretty good thunderstorm about 3 o'clock here in the Eden area, and I'm picking up some reports of about 2 hundredths of an inch from my friend John over near Armstrong. Green Bay had 14 hundredths of an inch yesterday, and everybody a lot on the lighter side. We do have a cool front pulling southeast out of that southeast corner of Wisconsin this morning, and that's why we have some rain. The rain extends from all around La Crosse through Mauston and across toward Beaver Dam, Fond du Lac, West Bend, and on the eastern side of the state. That's where rain chances do exist for this morning. We get a little bit of a break, but I expect another low pressure system will build in from the west right along that frontal boundary. I said it's extending down into southeast Wisconsin, curls back south through Iowa into southern Nebraska, northern Kansas. The next low will move east right along that boundary and bring some rain chance back around. It may even hit western Wisconsin very late today or this evening, if you will, and then it will spread eastward across the state overnight into the day Friday. Ending already Friday morning in northwest Wisconsin, not ending till Friday evening in the southeast part of the state, and rainfall amounts as this second system moves in could push up into that tenth to quarter of an inch. I wouldn't expect much more unless you had a little localized thunderstorm development. I just don't expect we're going to see that much rain, but that next rain chance develops quite late today in the northwest and then ends by late Friday in the southeast. Temperatures a little cooler with clouds and rain around. Still a very mild day, a big difference in temps from northern to southern Wisconsin today, and I do expect we all cool off a little bit just to wrap up the week. But then we start some moderation. Sunshine, drier, a nice Saturday. Boy, really gets the idea we can get out and get something done. But unfortunately, Sunday, I expect some rain redevelops. It could happen during the midday or afternoon in western Wisconsin, in the nighttime in the east and south, and we'll have a rain chance that sticks around Monday and on toward Tuesday. This more damp pattern is going to stick around as we wrap up the weekend and right into next week, just not letting it dry out so we can get out in those fields and start making some real progress, waiting for this showery pattern to try and dry up. Hopefully toward midweek, we start to see a little end, or at least much smaller possibilities of rain that may give us that chance to get something done. Our Newfields Ag forecast does include that rain in the south this morning, dry in the north, mostly cloudy skies, could be in the low 70s in southern and southeast Wisconsin, maybe only close to 60 in the northwest, so a big difference today. Northeast and east winds about 5 to 10. That chance of rain popping up late today in the west, developing overnight elsewhere, mostly cloudy through the nighttime, low to mid 40s for lows, and mostly cloudy, showers, even a thunderstorm Friday, ending in the west already in the day, into the upper 50s, mid to upper 50s for highs, and by Saturday, sunny skies, sounds nicer, Ben. I'd expect upper 50s, maybe a few 60s here and there. The weekend starts out nice, but that rain returns to wrap it up.
And that was your Newfields Ag weather update. Visit newfieldsag.com to experience the advantage.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight.
Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad lib to De Niro. He's like, security. And you're like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad lib. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the Global Cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when in fact the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health, but you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
CBS News Brief. Russian drones and ballistic missiles have hit Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, killing at least 9 people. President Trump says he wants the war to end.
It's a vicious war, and if I can help solve it, you know, we're not losing our soldiers, but we're losing soldiers, a lot of people. And if I can solve it because of a certain ability, that would be great.
Trump accused Ukrainian President Zelensky of prolonging the war by refusing to surrender Russian-occupied Crimea. A dozen states have sued the Trump administration, claiming the president doesn't have the power to impose tariffs unless there's an emergency. Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield.
It's effectively a tax that all of us are going to be paying.
A wildfire in southern New Jersey is now 50% contained.
The wildfire is expected to keep growing in size before rain is forecast Friday. Thousands at one point had to be evacuated, like Bill Schultz.
Police were up and down, knocking on doors, telling everybody, grab what you can and go.
CBS's Matt Piper, CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you were a fan of Malcolm in the Middle, you'll want to hear this. The 25th anniversary reboot of the show is currently in production in Vancouver. Deadline reports that the Fox show, which first dropped in 2000, will air 4 new episodes on Disney+. Bryan Cranston, Jane Kaczmarek, and Frankie Muniz will all revise their roles. The original Malcolm produced 151 episodes over 7 seasons. Speaking of Frankie Muniz, if you're wondering what the 39-year-old actor has been up to, the answer is racing. Muniz launched a career as a full-time NASCAR driver just recently. He was not happy with his finish in a recent race on April 18th, where his power steering line burst and he injured his hand while compensating. Muniz was also involved in an accident during a race in Bristol, Tennessee in early April. Sounds like I could beat him with my Honda. The actor says if he had to choose between acting or racing, he would choose racing. If things keep going the way they're going, they will be looking for a new middle child on Malcolm. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the NFL Draft tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the NFL Draft is getting underway. Thousands of fans and the network's broadcasting live. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst asked, after being just one game away from the Super Bowl 2 years ago, where does he think the team is heading into this season?
I think we're growing. You know, we lost our last three games, right? I think that's a tough pill to swallow. I don't think we can get very far away from that and understand that we got a lot of work to do. But I do like our group. I think they're eager, and I think they're all kind of entering a phase where they're going to be playing their best football. So I think we're really excited about that.
NBA, the Bucks back home, getting ready for the Pacers for Game 3 tomorrow night. Indy leads that series 2-0. Baseball, Brewers losing to the Giants 4-2. Pat Murphy on the decision to pull Freddie Peralta in the sixth.
We believed that he could do it, and then two quick hits, and then 0-2 to ball four. I didn't like that, and then he was at 96, and one of those things.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 53 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, some showers after midnight. Our low 44. Tomorrow, cloudy with some rain and thunderstorms. And the rain could be heavy with a quarter to a half inch or more. 56 the high on Saturday. Sunny with a high in the upper 40s. Upper 50s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans. Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
She's too old to deal with that stuff.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Ben Jarboe along with you this Thursday morning for the Midwest Farm Report. As these temperatures start to rise a bit, you may be thinking about pulling your boat out of storage and hitting the water. Darren Kuhn is the Boating Law Administrator with the Department of Natural Resources, and he was able to share some considerations for residents to think about in regards to checking your boat before hitting the water, as well as preventing dehydration if you choose to go out.
Dehydration is a major factor in boating, especially on a nice day. You know, you don't think a lot about it, but that sun is beating down on you, and the wave action actually does affect the body physically, but you do need to stay hydrated. Dehydration is a major problem where you start not making the smartest decisions because of the dehydration, and you don't even know it's coming. So, yeah, absolutely. If you're even just out on a beautiful bluebird day, stay hydrated. Drink your water, drink your Powerades, whatever. Alcohol is a major factor in that. It's going to dehydrate you. We know for a fact that one of the effects of alcohol on the body is dehydration. So if you're in one of those hot summer days, mixing alcohol into the mix is going to increase that risk of dehydration. Plus, all those factors, the sun, the waves, just the physical nature of being outside for that length of time, being bounced around on a boat, increases the effects of alcohol on the body more so than it does on dry ground. So what somebody may consider a safe amount to consume at home at their cabin is probably not the same amount that's safe to consume on the water. And that's why we suggest as an agency that the operator of the boat stay sober. Leave the drinking until you get back home when your day is done, and that just mitigates that risk so much more.
Are there any other considerations that you would like people to think about before they head out on the water for a day?
Yeah, especially early season, I would encourage everyone, check over your boat. It's been in winter storage. Who knows if the mice got to the wires or got to the life jackets that were stowed all winter long. Go through and make sure that your registration is up to snuff. Make sure that your boat lights are functional each time that you're planning on going out. Make sure your bilge pump works. If it's equipped with a power bilge pump, flip the switch and make sure the hum is there. Make sure everything is there that's supposed to be there. Check your life jackets. A lot of people have kid-sized life jackets while kids grow. So if they had their child-sized life jackets and that child grew throughout the winter months, make sure that that's still an appropriate size for the kids that's coming into it. As a parent, that's just it. Is every year you're buying school clothes. Treat your life jackets just like that with your kids. Make sure they still fit. But do a good safety inspection before you go out. Make sure you know where your engine cutoff switch is and you still have your lanyard. Make sure your boat lights work. Make sure your life jackets are where you thought you left them, because we run into an awful lot in the early boating season of, oh, shoot, I must have put them in the garage. Well, if you're out on the water, it's too late at that point. You need to check that before you go. Make sure, something as simple as your trailer lights. We've all been on the highway and have seen people without trailer lights and how dangerous that can be if you're trailering, after dark. So just do a good once over, but by far make sure that those life jackets are your biggest piece of safety equipment, and make sure you know where they're at. They're not locked in a compartment somewhere, that you have one for each person and they're still serviceable. But also check, just go over the boat. Go over the boat. Once you're set for boating season, if you're planning on going out after dark or before sunup, just make sure your lights work, because we run into that a lot too, where we have, you know, we stop people at 10 o'clock at night and they don't have any boat lights. Like, guys, come on. This is, you know, similar to if you're driving on the highway with no headlights, you know, that's a very dangerous situation, and no different in the boating world. Make sure your lights work if you're going to be out after dark, and leave the alcohol at home.
Coon would also like to remind everyone to check the weather before heading out and to keep your eye on the sky just in case the Midwest weather does Midwest weather things. And if you're one of those looking to get out this weekend and try targeting some fish, let's take a look at where you should be looking and what to throw. The fish should be starting to move in their pre-spawn pattern, so I'd look at some drop-offs, transition banks, some points, maybe even some flats. They might be moving up into those, into the weeds and other structure. This last weekend, I was fishing, and I was using a plastic 3 3/4 inch paddle tail swim bait, natural pearl mix color, and that seemed to do pretty well. I got a few decent fish, and I was also throwing around some lipless crankbaits, because in the spring, you can't go wrong with the lipless crankbait. I'd also look for spinner baits as we move through, because that's a great year-round bait. The fish do love them in the spring, especially just trying to get more active. And don't be afraid to throw around a deeper diving square bill just to see if some of those fish are still down lower. And as always, I always like to mention, you can't go wrong with the green pumpkin wacky rig. That just seems to be a great bait year-round if you're going for bass, and it's just hard to beat. So with that, I wish you all good luck this weekend, and stay safe out there. Make sure to stick around, because coming up next, we are going to see how the markets are moving.
June Dairy Month is a special time to celebrate, enjoy, and support Wisconsin's proud dairy tradition. Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin plays a key role in promoting and marketing the state's dairy industry year-round. Gary Cohn, the organization's director for District 3, which includes Lincoln, Oneida, Price, and Taylor counties, shares what he enjoys most about June Dairy Month, along with the ways that people can get involved and learn more.
Participating in Dairy Breakfast, you know, just going to visit the people and see how excited they are to actually come out to the farms and see what we're doing. So I would encourage everybody, you know, to discover the taste and support their local dairy farmers during June Dairy Day at their local dairy farms. And the breakfast can be located by visiting wisconsindairy.org/JDM. And that should get you to the website and show you where your local breakfasts are at.
June will be here before you know it, so explore local June Dairy Month events and discover ways to celebrate Wisconsin's dairy industry all year round.
Welcome back, everybody. And before we get to the markets, let's take a listen in from the draft, where Ron Dunford, the CEO of Schreiber Foods, shares the process of getting to hold the first ever Taste of the Draft.
Gen Youth is the organization that this is all for. Gen Youth was founded by actually the dairy farmers. And so as a dairy company, we got to know Gen Youth because of that, through that. When they came to Green Bay, it seemed to just be a natural fit. They asked us if we would be interested in doing something like this. This is actually the first ever Taste of the Draft. And so we talked to them, and it just felt like something that fit our values and our vision, and it was an easy yes.
These are some exciting times over the next few days here in Wisconsin with the NFL draft. Now let's take a look at this morning's dairy markets. Class 3 milk is showing losses, with May contracts down 10 cents at 1855 hundredweight and June contracts down 9 cents at 1736. Cheese closed down yesterday with barrels down 2.5 at 178.5, with 40-pound blocks down 1.5 at 176. And butter finished the day up a quarter at 232.5. And now if we look more into the producer side of dairy farming, Stephanie Hoff joins us with Jeff Glass to learn how important concrete grooving is in your barns. Take it away, Stephanie.
When animals are your livelihood, keeping them happy and comfortable is a part of the job. Today we're exploring one of the many ways that dairy farmers prioritize animal welfare to keep the farm profitable and productive. Jeff Glass joins us from Best Footing Concrete and Grooving out of Strum. His job is to make sure cows don't slip on wet concrete or hurt their feet on surfaces that are too rough. He says barn floors encounter a lot of wear and tear, water, and manure, so slipping can be common if there's no traction.
Just years of scraping it with the rubber tire or steel bucket, and then manure on it gets wet. You know, concrete just kind of wears down and gets smooth, and this machine puts a groove in it or textures it so that it keeps the cows from slipping, which works really good, because when they push off with their back feet, a cow walks laterally with their back feet, they push off, so then that's how they do the split. So this groove keeps that from happening.
We talk a lot about cow comfort and the work that a farmer puts in to make sure their cows are happy and comfortable. Grooving a floor is part of that, and I almost think of it like we don't want our shower floors to be slippery. We like to have some texture there.
Right, exactly, yeah. And if a cow's not comfortable, they're not going to eat as much. They're not going to go to the bunk. They have to walk quite a ways to the parlor, you know, to get milked. So you want them comfortable. They'll see more heat detections because cows, you know, don't want to ride on each other or things. So, you know, you want them comfortable coming in and out of the stall, going to eat. So, you know, it really is a valuable service. It really helps.
Cows know, like you said, they're smart animals. So if they're not comfortable walking across the floor, you will see limited activity.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's like us walking on ice. You know, you walk real tentative, and a lot of cattle avoid areas that are really slippery because they've fallen there before, so they'll walk around areas. So, yeah, there's a lot of improvement in cow comfort if they can walk and are stable on the floor.
It's not just one groove fits all, right? There's different styles of grooving to concrete that may work in different areas of the barn.
Yeah, yep, that's exactly right. I can do a 3/4-inch square cut groove every 3 inches apart. And like the corners or where they're a heavy traffic area, you might want to cross groove it or go a different direction. Now, a lot of barns have grooves in it that they bowl floated in already, and they'll work for a while sometimes, but then they'll slip in between the grooves. And then I can do what they call a mini grooving, where you cut little lines in between it just to break up that flat surface between the grooves. So
not too slippery, not too rough. That barn floor has got to be just right to provide traction and reduce animal stress. Jeff Glass joining us from Best Footing Concrete and Grooving out of Strum. One of the examples of how dairy farmers prioritize animal welfare on the farm. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thank you for that insight, Stephanie. Make sure to stick around, because coming up next, we are going to talk with our friends at EverAg.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
All eyes are on Wisconsin as the NFL's 2025 Player Selection Draft is finally here. 250,000 people are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
Our citizens are just so excited to welcome hundreds of thousands of guests to the city of Green Bay. We're thrilled about it. I mean, the economic impact is going to be substantial. $20 million roughly in the metro area, and then I think $96 million is the number that's being used statewide.
It's the second time Wisconsin is hosting the draft, the first in 1939. But do you know where? Was it Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer's coming up.
The smallest NFL city, but the biggest heart.
And with the main campus all around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the very next day. By the way, the Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service.
sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight.
Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
And nationally.
Yeah, overall, USDA reported that U.S. milk production was up 0.9%, which actually was a little bit below what people were expecting for the report, given that it was up 1% in February. But, I mean, those are February and March here, still some of the biggest gains we've seen in more than a year's time. So slowly, we're seeing more cows added to the herd, milk production pick up a bit as well. And when we look at Wisconsin, Wisconsin's been more of a mixed bag as of late. So in January and February, milk production was down a little bit in Wisconsin. It was up 0.1% here in March. And so from that perspective, you know, we've been pretty flat here in Wisconsin. That's been true for other states in the Midwest. But when we look at where the growth really is right now in the U.S. in terms of milk production, places like Texas, Kansas, South Dakota, Idaho, places that are seeing some investment in new plant capacity are also seeing some increases in milk production as well to go along with that.
And with this increased milk production in some states and Wisconsin remaining pretty flat, what are you seeing with the prices?
Yeah, overall, cheese prices have really been all over the board this year. Luckily, the past week or so, we've been on a bit more of an uptick. So cheese prices closer to 180 here this week. Also, as we look at what that means in terms of class three values back to dairy producers, April milk checks will be down a little bit based on lower cheese prices a few weeks ago. But we're setting up for some better numbers again here in May. So May closer to 1850 in terms of a milk price. And so, I mean, it's really been a roller coaster as we think about what these markets are reacting to this year between changing data in terms of milk production, keeping an eye on what's happening with tariffs, looking at new cheese plants ramping up. All sorts of different factors have caused a lot of big ups and downs in milk prices and cheese prices so far this year.
Well, and right there, you're mentioning tariffs and other things, but what else should we be keeping our eye on for the dairy industry moving forward?
Yeah, you know, one of the other big things we're watching right now is what does domestic demand look like for cheese? And it's been a little bit mixed that I think given all the uncertainty in the markets, you know, consumers still feel a bit stressed, especially as, you know, watching inflation, other costs go up. And so domestic demand for products has only been so-so to kick off the year. But we are coming, you know, spring and summer is just around the corner. So we're coming into grilling season, ice cream season. So watching what that means for dairy consumption as the weather improves here. Also, I mean, we just had Easter this past weekend. Easter tends to be a better time for dairy consumption as well as people get together and enjoy a meal with family. And so from a seasonal perspective, we're heading into the time of year where we'll start to see consumption of some of these products pick up. But, you know, the question is, you know, what does that look like compared to years past? And then on the other side, watching that international demand that, at least for now, from a cheese perspective, we don't have any tariffs on big cheese buyers or big cheese buyers haven't tariffed U.S. cheese. And so the cheese market feels okay. We are watching what's happening, you know, with the ongoing trade war with China. China buys a lot of whey from the U.S. And so keeping a close eye on that market as well. But, yeah, lots of different pieces and kind of watching what demand looks like because I think as we make our way into spring here, we're going to continue to see a little bit more milk. So we need to find people to continue to eat our delicious dairy products.
Well, I'm sure as the temperatures warm up here, we're also going to see an increase in ice cream being eaten here during the spring and summertime.
Exactly. I mean, that's the best part. And, you know, we do hear that a little bit as we talk to folks, especially selling cream, that they hear demand for soft serve ice cream mix is starting to pick up. So that's cleaning up the market.
Katie Burgess, the Dairy Market Advising Director with Everag, joining me this morning. If you have any more questions or want to learn more about them, you can visit their website at ever.ag. And from the Midwest Farm Report team, we thank you for joining us this Thursday morning, and we hope you have a happy, healthy, and safe rest of your week. Signing off from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Chef Jeff Grunder with a dinner tip you won't want to miss. The Machine Shed's Parmesan Crusted America's Cut. It's seriously amazing. We start with a juicy grilled pork loin and top it with a Parmesan crust made from real butter, roasted garlic, grated Parmesan, parsley, cracked peppercorn, and toasted breadcrumb. We bake it to a golden brown and drizzle with white wine sauce. It's a game changer. Trust me. Head to the shed tonight. I-94 and Highway 164. Pewaukee.
A leading British scientist questions the motives of a global environmental activist group. Today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
I'm a fix-it-yourselfer, but I also know there are times when I'm in over my head. My wife has a saying, will anything bad happen? If the answer is even maybe, then call a professional. Too many farmers have gotten hurt or killed by trying to fix a problem themselves. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Sir Richard Roberts is no fan of Greenpeace. In fact, the Nobel Prize-winning scientist says Greenpeace has cashed in on the subject of genetic modification.
They've never had a better fundraising campaign than this. As soon as they came out against GMOs, the funds that they raised from voluntary contributions increased threefold, and they're still at that level now. And I think Greenpeace is scared that if they say, well, GMOs are now okay, that's going to disappear.
Roberts told a Canadian audience that governments not approving GM foods is hurting low-income populations.
Food choice is really a luxury of the developed world. You know, when you go into a restaurant, you have a big choice of things that you can eat. But the bulk of the people who are at the poor end of the scale in the developed countries, they don't have a lot of choice. They can only eat what they grow in their backyards.
Worst of all, says Roberts, government inaction on a genetically modified type of rice is costing lives in the developing world.
Since 2005, literally millions of children have died because they didn't get enough vitamin A when they were growing.
This series concludes tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Trump administration wants big changes to the Endangered Species Act. The law has long been interpreted as including protections for habitat on the premise that destroying a species' food and shelter harms the species itself. But now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service said in a proposed rule that degrading or destroying habitat should not be considered harm. Habitat loss is the single biggest driver of wildlife extinction. State officials say someone illegally shot and killed a bull elk near the city of Black River Falls. The animal was one of the primary breeding bulls in an effort to reestablish populations of elk in central Wisconsin. It was wearing a GPS radio collar and there were trail cameras nearby, but the DNR says it still needs the public's help to find the shooter. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Russian airstrikes have hit Ukraine's capital, killing 8 people. The BBC's John Donison is there.
In the early hours of the morning, anti-aircraft fire lit up the sky over central Kyiv as Russia attacked the city with missiles and drones.
A dozen states have sued the Trump administration, claiming the president's tariffs are illegal. Chris Mays is Arizona's attorney general.
I will not stand by while the federal government imposes policies that harm our economy, violates the Constitution, and ignores the limits of executive power.
Thousands of people have been winding their way through St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican to view the body of Pope Francis, among them Lana Klein, an American college student in Rome.
Walking in there, it was so silent, but you could feel how much people really cared about him and how much love there was for this man.
The viewing ends tomorrow night. The funeral scheduled for Saturday. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You can all